So please lie on your stomach. Now, the hands, I would advise you to put both hands in front of your head, one on the other, so that you can put one side of your face on the hands, not on the floor. And I would advise you to put the left hand over the right and look to your left. Put the head to your left. And now bend the left leg in the knee so that the foot looks upwards. Means the sole of the foot is turned towards the ceiling. And now I would advise you to have a look over your left shoulder at your foot and the other people's feet. And then you will see a funny thing. Some people have their foot extended to the ceiling, and some have him at right angles to the foot. You see? Look at that. For instance, that newcomer there, look how his foot is extended to the ceiling. Now, would you please try to flex and extend the foot? Flex it and extend it. But it's not in order to increase the strength of your leg, but in order to appreciate where do you extend it and where do you flex it. And you will agree with me that normally if you say bend your knee with the sole to the ceiling, the foot should be in a neutral position, neither extended nor flexed. Now, you see, I can go and show you, every one of you, where it's extended, where it's flexed. But what about you finding out where it is? How would you know? Flex it, extend it, until you make the movement smaller. Because while you flex a lot and extend a lot, you're still not near where the neutral point. Then try to make the movement gentler, with less effort. And there we will find with greater precision round the neutral point where flexing and extending even a small amount is perceptible. Now this is a very important thing. You can see, so long as you make big movements, you shoot through the neutral point and unable to locate it. And in fact, the location is erratic. Some find it above the middle, some below. But only when you reduce the strain and make the movement very gentle, round and you, then suddenly the precision increases. And people know exactly where it is. That is actually one way in which we try to do what I said at the beginning, make you independent. You can see that if you yourself learn to reduce the strain and to reduce the movement, to make it very slow and gentle, then your sensitivity increases. You detect smaller changes as appreciable, and therefore the foot will now be with most of you just in the right place. Now would you please try to do the following thing. Turn your foot as it stands, bent like that, not flexed and not extended. Turn the foot outwards to your left. Many times, several times. Turn it out to the left. But don't look at it. But have your head lying on the floor. Put it to the left and again and back to the middle. Well, yeah. make sure, again, if you move it with a lot of power, as many of you do there, they move to the left, and when they go back to the middle, they lift the foot, actually extend it. And instead of bringing it just to the middle, they extend it. The foot, not the leg, the foot only. Now, obviously, when you turn the foot, the heel must also turn. But some of you manage to substitute for the turning another movement in which the heel does not need to move. Obviously, if you move the foot to the outside, to your left, the knee, the heel, must turn inwards in the direction of the other leg, it means to your right. Now try to do it. Move your heel inwards. Now, of course, if you move your heel, your foot will turn outwards. Try again. The question is only, what do you have in your mind when you think foot? Is it the heel also or not? Now, you turn the foot without having paying attention at all to the heel, and many of you do. And of course, then 30, 40 years later, you realize that the heel is not where it should be. Now try slowly. Think of moving the foot outwards to your left, but once think of the toes moving outwards, means the foot, greater part of the foot, and the heel inwards, and shift your attention to the point which moves once to the heel and once to the foot, until you can think of the foot and the heel simultaneously. It means you can think of the foot moving inwards while the toes move outwards. Now, of course, try to think of it. Try to see whether you can perceive that. Because a great majority of you, when you move outward, flex the foot. Flex it uselessly, more than necessary to turn it left. No, if you look at it, that I know that you're not paralyzed. Don't look at it. I will let you look at it afterwards. After you will correct everything and it will still be cockeyed, then you will look at it. If you look now, of course you can see what I say, and of course you're not paralyzed. Therefore, when you see, you can check it. But the fact is that your kinesthetic sense and the image of yourself, in fact, that part of you that you enact in life, which you use, is not the foot that I see or you see, but the foot you see as you feel it. As you use yourself as your self-image dictates you. For instance, I myself, in my body image, I am so thin that I cannot understand when I look in the mirror to see that I'm so heavy. Literally, I'm not joking. I feel myself completely swelled. That's my body image. And when I look in the mirror, I'm surprised to see how little it corresponds. And that is also a fault. That means I refuse to accept my age. I refuse to accept my fatness. And therefore, I do nothing about it. The parts that one is not aware of them, that are not part of the self-image, are not enacted and not used, are not used in life. They remain, therefore, outside the range of attention. They enact themselves. These parts take part in the general movement, but they behave as if they have a sense of their own. And therefore you can say, my heel wouldn't like to move there. I tried to move it this way and it just wouldn't. Now, who's the heel? What sort of authority is that? Surely it's, I am the boss, no? Or is my heel the boss? Or is I and the heel the same thing, perhaps? Then why can't I compel the heel to do what I want to? Or why doesn't the heel obey me? Even if he's part of me, it should, there should be no conflict at all. Therefore, you see, many of you know this dichotomy anyway, that who is the self, who is I, who isn't, is it this unconscious, is it the... We're not going into that now. Just watch whether while you turn your foot to the left, whether you also flex the foot, and try to do it without flexing. Make a small movement, but don't flex. And now when you bring it back to the middle, back where it should be, in the middle, neutral, don't extend it. And now after you've tried that, have a look at it. Now look at it and see whether you actually do what you think you're doing. Now that's flexing. That's extending. Now move it to the left. Move the heel to the right. Can you see? But whatever you want to do, the foot just laughs at you and says, I know only one thing. All my life you have been only flexing me and extending and doing nothing else. Why suddenly, what have you got now, got mad and tried to make me turn it right, left? Surely that foot is not differentiated for that. It's not a hand. It's just an idiotic foot. Now why should a foot be idiotic? Now look at it now and try to correct, and you will see that even looking and correcting, the foot still has a will of his own, and that's the long ingrained habitual pattern that is in your body image of yourself, and that thing you will enact. As most of us learn with the foot, only to walk and run means flexing and extending. That's the only thing that is enacted easily. The rest is as undifferentiated as it was left off at your early childhood. Nobody bothered about making you flex the foot or not, or do any other thing. Only flexing and extension was the only thing important. And here you will see the main important thing, what I'm trying to teach, that we are actually programmed, wired in at the most primitive, the first calm idea of a human being, while we have actually an extraordinary powerful brain with a lot of possibilities which we don't use at all, because once we are wired in, we think I am like that and that's that, and then you believe that other people are also like that, but they are not. And therefore this is a very sad state, that we all behave and use ourselves a very small part of what we can do, and the small part is the most primitive one. The first come means the ones we happen to learn by chance, and which is the easiest to think of all the other things. And by the end of the lesson, you're going to see that in fact, when we allow ourselves to use other patterns, that means when we improve our body image to contain out of the foot many other aspects, we learn it so fast in one lesson. You will see that at the end of the lesson, what you do now, you yourself will laugh at it and say, how on earth could I be so silly at the beginning? All right? Now, don't look at it anymore. And now put your hands again normally. Bend your foot. Bend your knee. And slowly flex it and extend it, make it gentler until you know really where the foot ought to be or could be. That means when you don't do anything with it. Because when you reduce the strain, you can direct it. When it's full of strain, you can't direct it at all. That's right. And now, again, turn the heel outwards. The heel outwards. Turn the heel outwards. And back to the middle. Now, those who do it without power will perhaps do a small movement. The heel outwards. But some of you will not move the heel at all, but the foot will do all sorts of queer movements to substitute so that you feel you have done something. Doesn't matter what it is, but at least I have moved something in the foot. Now move the heel outwards. Therefore the big toe should move inwards. And you will see that most of you substitute for that another movement altogether. Slowly, if you make a very small, tiny movement, you will succeed. If you make that tiny movement 5 times, it will become bigger. If you do it 10 times, it will become even familiar and easier. But if you strain to do what you want to do, you have only have a look at your foot and you will see that the foot doesn't do at all what you intend to do with it. There's something else altogether. Only those who practically don't move do the right thing. Now, have a look at your heel and see whether the heel moves outwards. And you will see that the heel stands on the Achillean tendon, doesn't move at all. The only very, look at your case, you in front of me, who bends so nicely, and which you stopped me from doing the yoga lesson I want to do. Your heel is motionless completely. Look, move it outwards. Where is outwards relative to? It's not outwards, I don't move at all. It flexes and extends. It doesn't move outwards. You want to see somebody who does move it outwards. Yeah. Look, he is moving outwards. Look, his heel is moving outwards. Look, because he does it so gently, so slowly. Look, that's it. Look. And while his heel is moving outwards, his leg moves inwards, which is obvious. In that articulation, you couldn't do the one without the other. Though it's possible. Now you, your foot, you know what you're doing with your foot instead? Look what I do now. Look, this, you bend it like that. Now look at it, there it is. But the heel hasn't moved an iota, not a tenth of an inch outwards, look. But you substituted for the heel. Look, if I show you, for the heel movement, means move the heel outwards, you substituted that. That's what you did. Can you see? Now you try. Now don't, because you see, we will in a minute we'll have to do that movement you're doing, and you will see that all the others can't do it. They will do then the moving outward instead. Anything we can't do, we substitute something else for it. Sure, and how? Especially, you see, we are teaching body, going through the body, to reach your emotions and your self-image, and then. But in behavior, everybody substitutes something else for what he can't do in order to do something. For instance, if you can't say no, what do? You get angry. you say that one is a silly and he's demanding, he's authoritative, but you can't say no, that's all. Say no and you'll see that the whole thing is simple. Say yes or give instead of doing. You take emotionally, test yourself with the same precision and you will see that every time something is difficult for it, you substitute something else altogether. Therefore, the result doesn't come. Because the world reacts to what you actually do, not what you think you're doing. For instance, if you want to move your heel outwards and you do that, in the standing position, you would sprain your ankle, that's all. And you would say it's the fault of the step. But in fact, it's the fault of the leg and the person who walks, who instead of turning the leg as the step or the gravel demands it, you turn it as you can, that's all. Independent of what is necessary. Therefore, the result is something else. Now, lower your leg to rest a little. And now, put your left hand in front of you on the floor. The right, put the hand on the right ear on your right hand. The right ear on the right hand. But the hand free on the floor. The left hand. And now the left leg, extend the foot, extend it on the floor. Extend it. On the floor. Now, look, in that position it's very, very difficult. Flex your thumb. Is that flex? No, that's extending. Flex the thumb means you must bring it inward. That's flexing the thumb. That's flexion. This is extending. You see? Now, this is different in the hand and in the leg altogether, isn't it? In that position. Flex your thumb. Flex the small, the auricular, the small finger. Flex it. Flex the small finger. Now, flex the small toe. It's the same. Actually, it's the easiest of the lot. Flex the small toe. Now flex it together with the annular. Small finger. Straighten them and flex them. The small toe. Now put your left hand at your side with the back of the hand at the floor. Now this time the flexion of the foot and the toe in space will be in the same direction. It will be a bit easier. Correct? Mm-hmm. Now flex the annular and the second toe. Very difficult. Let's try the easiest first. The small finger, the annular, and the small toe, they're on the foot, it's easiest. Or as easy as the big toe. Now try the big toe and your thumb. Flex the thumb and the big toe. Don't move it. Don't move them. Don't lift them. If you lift them, you introduce strain in the other muscles and the direction on the foot will become even worse. Leave the leg lying and see, why do you have to strain the whole leg in order to flex a tiny little toe like that? And that's why we can't flex it. Because to flex the toe, you need to activate one small muscle in the leg. But we actually activate the whole leg. And therefore, in the mass of excitation, we can't control the small toe at all. Just like when if I ask you to flex the small finger while you are terribly angry and your whole body is ready to kick and hit or scratch, you wouldn't feel the small. Actually, you would tell me, go to hell. Who wants the contracting or flexing the small finger? Now try a few minutes. No, put the back of your head on the floor. The back of your, that's right. Then the movement in space at least will be in the same direction, it will be easier. And now try the big toe and the thumb, and then the middle. That's the worst of all. The middle finger on the hand is not bad, but the middle finger on the foot feels completely daft. You just don't know what to do. Where is it? Is it there anywhere? Try to locate it. Now try to reduce the strain both in the hand and in the foot and in the head and especially in the face. Make your face ready to smile. Don't smile, there's nothing to smile at. But don't hold it so that it cannot smile without change. And then see whether air is coming out of your nostrils and going in. It means whether you don't hold your breath while you try to find where's the middle toe. And now watch. Try to think of the middle toe and see whether you don't actually hold your breath. Especially if you try to move it, you almost can't avoid it but hold the breath. And while you do that, you will see that if you don't hold the breath, you strain elsewhere. Now bend the knee and try to do the same thing in that position. Try to move the big toe and the thumb, the small toe and the auricular, and then the middle finger and the middle finger and the toes, the middle toe. And now try the second finger, second to the small toe. They are easier than the middle finger. But gently, with the smallest amount. Don't move a lot. Just make a sufficient movement to perceive, to justify yourself, to feel, to know, to sense that you actually move it where you want it. If you do a small move, you will succeed. Otherwise, all the toes will move together, and no matter what you think or what you do. Now try to move with your hand. Move, flex one finger, the small toe, the annular, the auricular, this means the small finger, the annular, the medius, middle finger, the index, and the thumb. One after the other. Most people find no difficulty in the hand. Try. Auricular, annular, medius, index, thumb. Now, try, without paying attention whether you do it or not, keep on doing it with the hand, and at the same time, think the small toe together with the auricular, the annular together with the second toe, the medius, the middle toe, the index, the second toe, and the thumb, the big toe. Keep on doing it in that order. And gradually, slowly, decrease the speed in the hand until you can feel that you actually do with the toes what you think. Now try the other way around. Try to move the toes of the foot and do with your hand what you feel when you want to do with the toes or what you want. See whether they actually do it, or otherwise move the thing that you feel moving. When you want to move the big thumb, move the big toe, move the big thumb. If you want to move the second finger, move the index. And whatever you feel you're actually enacting, reproduce on your hand. You can change the position of the leg if it's tiring. Doesn't matter. You need to work over your strain. Now, would you please try only one thing again? Flex the foot now and extend it. The foot alone. The left one, the left. No. The left one. Left foot. Left foot. Flex it and extend it. But now in the flexion, think of the heel. That when the foot goes down to the floor, the heel goes away from the floor. Or when the foot is near to your knee, the heel is away from your knee. That's flexion. And in extension, the heel moves nearer to the body and the foot goes away. Can you feel it that way? That's easy. But at least you feel now what the heel does and not the foot. Now move the heel up and down. And of course the foot must move up and down. Can't do it otherwise. But there is a difference in sensation and in manipulation. It's in fact another movement, because most of us don't think of the heel at all. We think of the heel of the shoe. And now move the heel outside. That's right. And back to the middle. And then many of you have moved that they couldn't before move an iota. Now you in front of me, look at you now, you move your heel. Look. Move it. Can you see? It was motionless before when you thought you were moving it. Now it's moving. Now move the heel outwards. Move the heel inwards. But now move it while it's flexed, while the heel is nearest to your body. When the heel is nearest to your body, move it outwards. 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 Don't look. I will let you look intentionally. But at least give yourself a chance. If you look now, you will be completely discouraged. Now move the heel, extend, I told you, flex the heel, bring it near to yourself. It means extend the foot, and now move the heel outwards. And they will see that this, that's right. And now the other way around, extend the heel, or flex the foot, and move the heel outwards. Slowly. Now move the heel inwards and outwards while the foot is flexed. Now while you do that with the heel, move the foot inwards and outwards. And some of you have changed the way of doing it that is not to recognize the foot. The person whom I showed that she was inverting the foot, instead now look at it now. You are not inverting it. Move it. No. Move it like you did a minute ago. That's right. Don't invert it, the heel. That's good. That's good. Now, what did you do before? Can you see, when you don't know what you're doing, then it's enough to change what you do, and you can't do the thing before either. Because that what was done by accident automatically, and you have no awareness. As soon as you mix in it, you interfere, you forget even how to control that too. And only the person who is aware can do this and can do the other one and can do that and can move the heel, can do that one. There's nothing to it. You can do it with the fingers of the hand. You have corresponding muscles on the foot. And some people can use their toes so much, those who happen to lose their arms. I know people can play the piano with the foot. And Jacobi has made several painters paint with the foot. And I don't know whether you said that a few months ago, a girl who can do typing on types with the foot and earns a living by typing, was presented to the queen, and she gave the queen the foot to shake foot and hand with her, because she has no hands. She is that famous drug that has produced. She's born without hands. What could she do? But that shows you that in the human nervous system and muscles, the leg is just could be as educated as the hand. Now, would you please lie on your back just to rest a minute? And now, stretch out your legs and just try to feel whether one leg doesn't feel longer. Feels longer. And decide which feels longer, the one you worked with or the other one. Now, it doesn't matter whether longer, which feels nicer. Now try to lift the right foot from off the floor a little bit, just gently. All right? Now stop that. And now lift the left and see the difference. Now lift the right foot as high as you can, the right one. That's right. And lower it again. And now try with the left and feel the difference. So you can see that becoming aware of movements, differentiating the foot, does actually a lot of good to the foot in its normal use. We will see it in a minute. For instance, try already now. It will be enhanced by the end of the next little exercise that you'll do. But now turn on the side, roll on the side, get up and walk. And see, how do you like yourself better, as your left leg or as your right leg? Walk, feel what the left foot knows of the floor and what the right foot knows of the floor. And see, which is more you? The left foot or the right one? Now watch at your shoulders. Look how the left shoulder feels and how the right shoulder feels. Can you see that? Now look with your mind's eye at your face and see which side of the mouth is strained and which one is free. And now look at the whole cheek and the eye. One eye is open and the other one is not. Which one is open? Open it, look at it, feel it. Look at the people around you, whether you can tell by the face which leg we have exercised, which foot we have exercised. Look at the people, look at half a dozen of them, and see whether you can tell by the face, that one half is different, and that you can tell that the one which is longer, extended, less raised, more, less contracted, with less tonus, is on the side which you have exercised. Look at many of them. Look seriously. Look at the shoulders, whether you can tell by the shoulder which side worked. And now another thing, try to walk around yourself, means turn. One, turn to your right. And now turn to your left and you'll see the difference. Now one would never expect that trying to improve your body image on the foot would have such a profound effect on the rest of the body in things which are not related to it. How come? Lie on the floor. And rest a little bit. Lie in any way you like and rest a little bit. And now lie on your stomach again. Exactly in the same way, again bending the left foot or the left knee, and on the right bend the left knee in there, and this time move so as if you were standing on the outside of the left foot. The outside of the foot is on the floor. Standing on the outside of the foot, that means like this, if you watch. Standing on the outside of the foot. Some of you will do it. Stand on the outside of the foot. Now, I'll show you one or two who do it right now. That's you who couldn't do anything else but that. Look, that's it. Now, look, she stands on the outside of the foot. And actually you can see the heel and the whole foot turn inwards. You see? And she stands on the outside of the foot. Try to do it. And then straighten it. And then do it again. Straighten it and do it again. Each time gentler, easier, better. Nicer, or less nice, less good, but bend it. And less strong, but move it the way you want it. Slowly, without power. Can you see that without the heel moving inwards, you could never happen properly like that. Slow, effortlessly. Now repeat it gently, 5 times. Good or bad, but gently. Gently and without insistence on power. May move a little bit. If you feel that it's beginning to move, stop it. It's good enough. Gently. Without going to the limit of what you can do in effort. Gently. Inward, 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 and back to the middle. Inward and back to the middle. Now make 5 movements. Fast, good or bad, but gentle and small. Very tiny. Just passing the image in your mind so that you can think of it. Right? Now try to do the opposite. Means stand on the inside of the foot. Of the inside of the foot. But that has nothing to do with turning the foot outside. You see, you'll find that when we can't do is the thing we have already learned to do. We substitute it for what we want. We have learned to turn it outside, then what she couldn't do before, turning outside, she substitutes now for the turning the foot the way she wants for something else. And that's a general character of all human action. When you can't do, you do something else which should be good enough. Now, if you don't look at it, you have a chance of succeeding. Oi, don't look. Now move it inwards and outwards. I mean, standing on the outside of the foot, standing on the inside. Once like that and once like that. The toes should not move right and left. And the heel neither. That's right. It has nothing to do with moving right and left. But many of you move right and left instead. Now have a look at the foot and see whether you do what you want to. Or it's moving, doing something else. Now you're moving right outside instead of standing on the outside of the foot. Do it moving right and left. But many of you move right and left instead. Now have a look at the foot and see whether you do what you want to. Or it's moving, doing something else. Now you're moving right outside instead of standing on the outside of the foot. Do it moving right and left.